I'm happy to hear that, because you and I have been trying to hitch up and have a chat. And I, like, on all seriously, over a year. There's been messages back and forth. And you're like, hey, we'll give you a call on this day. Okay. Oh, no, I can't call you. Well, let's do this next week. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. You know, and then I'm just like, I'm going to talk to him, because he has to be quiet now. Like, things have to be dying down. It's pretty quiet for everyone right now. And I wanted to talk to you about Murder Hornet Landlord. It was a, it was a 5-track EP that you put out. I believe the release date was in July, or back in
July. Yeah, it was the end of July.
End of July, right. And you were going through, you were going through some, like, you could, you can hear it in the EP, but there was a lot going on around you at the time. You were being like the ever social activist about people's homes and gentrification and stopping, you know, people from like there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and it sort of led into this pandemic with the coronavirus, and it's put a lot of people's lives in danger here over just nonsense. And but you penned this. It just seemed to go with the current times. And I was wondering, did you write most of this before all this nonsense was happening, or during, and then put it out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very influenced by what I had been doing up until the pandemic. I'd been doing, like you said, a lot of housing and tenant organizing.
Yeah.
And right out the first couple of months of the pandemic, there was quite a push with a group locally called Keep Your Rent that I was helping with.
Yes, I remember that.
So, I mean, the actual album was penned in April and May, and then it was recorded in June, and I put it out in July. So there was, I mean, I guess it's possible parts of it came in March, but it was all written during the pandemic. There was a song that I had in mind that I'd written pretty recently that was about landlords in general, that was going to be on there, and it ended up not. So the five songs that are on there, they were all written while, you know, in sort of the first phase of when it was really like nobody even knew where it was all going. that sort of period, you know. Like mostly May and June was probably the latest, but started in March and finished it about May, June.
Night killer hornets invading the U.S. and Canada. Also known as murder hornets. They reportedly kill up to 15 people in a matter of hours. Experts desperately trying to track down those dangerous hornets and stop them before they kill off much of the population.
Flatten the curve, man, fatten up my curb. Check bills, kills, two-third my work on the first again. Mama's purse hurt, can't afford no purchases. Birth the hard work, the dirt still certain. Scratch the surface and make them more nervous. How the fuck they ever gonna get us back to work again? Back to serving them dollars and sterlings, and back to collars round neck for paychecks. Tonight at 6, market's still cornered. There's more reports of the swarms of the murder hornets. Cops and borders, they lock on coordinates. You in accordance, or else you get deported for it. We can't afford to get infected, but check this. States say that it can't afford to keep us tested, man. Wash your hands and spray your disinfectant, and rock your mask and keep your fucking distances. They said it's fine when the world was on fire. What a fucked up time to be alive. Post-truth news cycle die. They boosting Facebook Live at baby's first food line. Pie to power of five, that break a 1-9. COVID coronavirus is live. Second wave waiting at the side. They say the paper don't lie, the contagion will thrive. They making eyes at apocalypse shit. They get the news from the YouTube and Fox and shit. They look for truth, but then consuming the opposite. Lucy Goose with the proof they've been offering. Part reports and it's part prophecy. Russian bots in the Cold War hot again. Whole world gotta bend they sold to the big black hole in the center of the thing we don't mention. The pen's dead, but the internet is mightier than swords, but not nuclear war or a fighter jet. They said economy never gonna be right again. the virus behind and front and to side of them. They writing guides on how we gon' survive it. What a fucked up time to be alive. System on fire, insisting that we die. We Facebook live, a baby's first food riot. Can't decide why we live in the negligence. Misdirecting it, mixing up the messages. Shop till you drop, but get kicked off the premises by cops with weapons, state interventions. And get to stepping, cause it's a pandemic, kid. Saving every fucking dime for the mission, kid. What the fucked up time that we living in. What a fucked up time to be alive.
And it's so strange because you never had a chance to really promote it or do the normal things that you would do when something comes out like this.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really strange part of it, right? Like, I couldn't really do a show or anything. I could have done, I suppose, some sort of, like, webcast thing, but I've not had good luck with that, to be honest. Right. I've enjoyed the process, but, like, as somebody that obsesses over how all that ends up sounding, yeah, and looking at stuff, I'm always
I was going to ask you that, because when this started, I was talking to a lot of people, and I've been a part of some webcasts, that sort of thing, right when this pandemic started. It was like a big pivot, and even I had my I was getting kind of flinchy about the whole thing, because to me it's like it's the show, it's the sound, and then I'm watching someone, and it's, I know they're just looking into a camera, but they didn't. Yeah. How can you find a connection with someone, right? To feed off of, right?
For sure. It must be really hard for.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's hard to get that energy. I think some people can do it really well. I think if you are sitting and, you know, playing a guitar, for instance, and you have a really beautiful voice and you're a great writer, that can come across really well in a small room and webcast. But
yeah,
like trying to like yell at people through a camera and to do you know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's,
I know
kind of
exactly
hard to describe,
what you mean. Yeah.
But like, it's like it's you can do it, but it's not the same, you know. And I mean, the same thing could be said about the beautiful intimate music. It would stir the soul a whole lot more if you were there in person. But
sure.
I don't know. There's just like certain types of it, I think, and certain people, I think. Like I've really enjoyed watching DA's cast. I've enjoyed watching Wax's. Like, yeah, there's people that can do it really well, you know. I don't think I'm one of those guys. I'm going to give it another couple tries. What else is there to do, right?
Exactly. There's really not much else that you can do at this point, right?
Yeah.
But I totally understand what you're saying, because I always find that with what you do and what others do of your ilk on stage, is like there has to be there's a statement being made, like whatever it is, and you have to drive it home. And whether it's, and if you're on a microphone and there's a big sounding stage and there's just a beat and there's your voice and your face and you're telling the people, you know, or you're saying this, and this, that energy level to me is just like, okay, well, because it seems to be very quiet. I would picture watching you do it. So, I mean, do it again. I mean, what the hell? You said, right?
My DJ that I work with most regularly, Crime, he's wanting to try one, doing another broadcast probably from his basement. So watch for that. Maybe in December.
Well, you could do a couple of them, and then by that time, maybe there'll be a cure, and then you've got to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunnar, here. And of course, this is a pre-recorded show that airs on The Hawk every Friday from 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. My special guest right now is Lee Reed, who I like to call the fiery Canadian oldest, grumpiest man that I've ever met in Hamilton. This, with his personality, he always reminds me that not everything is what you think it is, and he's right 99.9% of the time. But there is a room for error with you. There is room for error. But I got to tell you, our last couple of conversations that we had over the year, I've after every conversation I've had with you in an interview, I would say to someone and go, you know, this guy doesn't vote. He said on air, he said, I'm not going to vote. All of these parties are all, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep. I'm not voting for him. And when they took the socialism out of NDP, I'm never voting for them again. And here are the reasons why. And I thought I would tell the story to someone else. And it was Matt Jelly. And Jelly goes, yeah, well, he's right. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, so like I always remember these conversations that we have, and it always changes my perspective just a little bit more on stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Right? No, I listen, right? So and that's why when I brought about Murder Hornet Landlord, this last EP that just came out, I was wondering if you'd only just recorded just the five, or was there a whole other album of new stuff that I was going to be informed about? Is there a premonition album coming out?
I mean, there's another full length coming that will be produced much in the same manner as the last full length I did, Before and Aftermath. So I have another probably 12 tracks coming by that same producer. His name's Super83. So that release, which was on Strange Famous in 2018, I'm going to hopefully do it through them again, and it'll probably come out next year.
Right.
But it's done writing, but I haven't started tracking yet. But it's pretty much in the bag and should be a pretty, pain-free recording process. So, I'd say sometime next year.
Was in the night like a thief shit. Crisis capital, COVID-19 shit. Renters fear it, they eye full of tears. It's them renters leering, sticking us with spears in. Yeah, or by the sword, by the knife. The landlord gorge, taking twice or thrice of this slice out of your check. Got hand round your neck, man. Staring indirect plans of feeding your fam. Said, damn it, economically we bleeding. We bear the brunt of the COVID-19, and every investment sector's getting wrecked, and landlords still expect to cash your check. Check, check, you could protect that investment for landlords. That's more important than your medicine. Whether you weather it or if your kid's fed again, landlords got no fucks for your betterment. You get it yet? We gotta seize the means, man. Flip the script through COVID-19, and the market stop, dry bark to spark it. Pop that bubble on them housing costs and start this, spark this. Talk to your neighbor, man. Collectivize and response with your neighbor, man. State won't save you. Folks left to scrape by. Save for the basic. Food's on they plates. Face it, chase it, dream a better dream to get the most post-COVID-19. Tell your bosses, fuck back to normal. Landlords, catch more nutsack to gargle. Awful, markets are dark as shit, lost in. No precedent or lesson from before it. The precipice at the edge of the drop. Keep your rent, landlords can fuck off. And aw shit, they go for cops and bosses. And any motherfucker out here posting profit. Crisis capital, the shock fucking doctrine. Officers got robots building your coffin. Aw shit, watch this. Rona got the plot, condoning the motives of the ownership. Rotting that hold on economy. Gold all gotten from the homes, all stolen, bought and resold again. Oh shit, notice how landlords are getting like 3/4 of folks pandemic benefit checks with threats and letters they sign this settlement. Fines getting leveled all the time in the tenements. It's evident they want to make us bleeding to pay the cost of the COVID-19 and the housing market propped up by losses. Working class folk back broke for bosses and all shit. The normal debt they want in back is just 2 step back to 1 step from collapsing. Capitalists insist they got a path. Catch us at the back yelling, fuck that, Jack. With this shit in all cap, facts, stats, and all that, coming in masks and all black, catch us at the back yelling, fuck that. Hold up, with your wait just a moment, yo. Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawn, and it's the new normal. Hold up, would you wait just a moment, yo? Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawning, it's the new normal. Hold up, would you wait just a moment, yo? Check the road, it's a long, long way to go. Smell the roses, petrol, and overthrow. New day dawning, it's the new normal. It's the new normal. Get your new normal. Get your new normal. It's the new normal.
Sometime next year, like what's the timeline? Like we were talking like February, March.
You know, to be honest, I think I could get it done by then, but I'm probably going to plan to put it out in fall because what's the point in, you know, the only like I can put out digital music all I want and I enjoy it. I love making and creating something that's very right here and right now. But I mean, if I'm going to put out a full length, I would want to at least tour Canada. And it doesn't look like that'll be necessarily possible this coming spring. So,
no,
you never know, but I think I'd be giving myself a better chance if I play up to the fall.
Right.
So that's probably how it'll play out. But that's for the best, you know, like you were saying before, I just put out this EP, which I love, but it got no promotional treatment whatsoever. And there was, you know, nothing done in advance of it or, you know, so I'm due for trying to do that a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I know that both the campus stations here in Hamilton were spinning it, you know, respectively. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really keep track of what the rest of the Canada's response to it, but I figured that you were getting spun because it's a very relevant album or EP.
Yeah, thank you. And what I got this time that I don't normally get was messages from critics who I'd sent it to, following up to say that they enjoyed it, that sort of thing. The response out the gate was actually really good. Bless Bandcamp for their sort of notification system. You know, I've amassed like whatever 1,000 followers or something on there. So when you release something, right? Like everybody knows. So I was shocked actually as to the immediate response and how much it was purchased out the gate. And like the critics who I'd reached out to who would normally say maybe thanks or something had followed up to say this makes sense right now. Good job sort of messages. Which I don't normally get.
So, I think they should send it now because I think it makes perfect sense because this was what you released. This last one, Murder Tonight Landlord, made total sense with everything that was going on. For me, anyway, just watching you in the media and what was going on around us. So it makes total sense. So you have an upcoming, LP coming out possibly in 2021, which always leads to where does one find the money to do the complimentary 2 videos per album? You know, it's, because that's what happens. There's like, okay, well, here's my album. Here's 2 videos. And, you know,
and then
I get inundated, like my lyric video on my Facebook, you know, and it's like, oh, a lyric video. Super. Thanks. And, you know, it's the song. It's a lyric video. I don't know what to get from that. And I'm sorry if I'm crapping on people who do lyric videos, but it's just...
No, that's all right. I don't have any myself, but I've seen some that are all right. Rap can kind of be okay with those things if they're funky enough, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Videos, yeah. You know, I got to be very honest. I hate making videos. I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't enjoy the process at all. I actually really hate it. And I've got a couple of videos that, like, are fully made that never came out because I just don't like them. Do you know what I mean? And, like, or half made or, like, started to get made. And then I'm like, nah.
Dude, you're like Prince. Really Prince did, like, tons of movies. Never released them. He's got vaults of it. You and Prince, same guy.
I don't know about that, but thank you. That's the nicest company anyone was working with. But
really?
I think so. Yeah, that's high praise. But no, I feel really lucky. The last 3 videos that I've done with a videographer named Heat Score from an anarchist media collective called Submedia.
Right.
So the last few videos that I've had done through Submedia, and it's a relationship that was like forged over a long period of time. And I've, like, you know, given them permission to use my music for videos and you know, projects and things like that. And I've long followed them. I've always like shared and been into their stuff, and then got to sort of personally know some of the folks from it a few years back, and just have gotten to know them better and better. So now it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg to make a video. It just costs me, you know, costs and 2 days of beer and good writing with some friends, you know.
But I've seen, I mean, you said that you don't like video, but it's not like there's going to be any video where you're going to be this happy-go-lucky guy in a video where you have to do any sort of acting. I mean, the music, hopefully the music and what the music is about is reflected in the video. And I mean, when I watch the microphone video, I was like, oh, this is like, you know, you're not jumping around like a happy dude. You're upset.
That's true.
You know, even the one when you were dressed as Santa Claus walking around, I was like, he's so angry at everybody with this one. But I mean, it made sense, right?
Did you watch the video from Murder Hornet Landlord? That's my favorite new one. How You Live In is the song.
How You Live
Pretty
In?
Funny.
No, I have not
How You
seen
Live
that
In.
One
you should be sure to watch that one. That's that was released with Murder Hornet Landlord probably about maybe a month after it came out.
3 hours without internet, and there's riots in the set, and there's violence within the next 5 to 6 minutes of shit living. You flip switch dipshits, ain't got time for the real life. Finest minds arrive to conclusion, designed to soothe you, science and illusion to boost your immunities against dudes who use truth from YouTube loops and deducing, dude. I get it, don't need the mood of phonetic or all of the effort, the data you're checking, Vatican record, matter of ethics, lizard people keeping us pets, deep in a mess, steeped, heaped in conjecture, don't test it, untested, state wrecked it, our destinies invested in this mess. I'm a pessimist, messing with stats and evidence against messianic Methodists. It's like Exodus, but Moses with weapons, roaming frozen meat sections in Texas. Text your selection, you're bad at the data collection, mad at your spending, status suspended, said send the troops, boosting morale for bootlickers, pals of the KK. Corral, kerplow. The West is fucking wild now. Rock a vest for protection, also for style. Hey, y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living in the pandemic. Hey, y'all, it's just beginning, but don't forget how you're living in the pandemic. Hey, y'all, don't you forgive them, man. Don't forget how they're living in the pandemic. Hey, y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living. With no cheap meat, the peeps in the streets would demand to speak with McMayor. Fix the conveyor, we want 6 McRich sandwich for the price of 1. Till this pandemic's done, fun cheeseburger bun solutions and I dream foods for large groups of looters. I'm part Marx and part John Luke in the booth, talking truth in my full space commie suit, dude. Too many folks that ain't coping, and a dose of the soma's about the best they could hope for. Hopeless, the whole social bargain's broken. Overcharging these folks for their homes, yo. 4 walls, a roof of your own, yo. TV, phone, a fridge, a stove. Most of your take home, sacrifice the basics. Life, they take you ripen in your prime, climbing a vine to financial crisis. Jesus, minimum monthly Christ, would you leave me alone? I cannot afford to be recorded. I need more for quality assurance. I'm in a furnace, I'm koalas burning. I'm the fall of modernity, dur. Modernity, scary, canned meats and freeze-dried berries, trying to survive real life sci-fi. Hey, y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living in a pandemic. Hey, y'all, it's just beginning, but don't forget how you're living in a pandemic. Hey, y'all, don't you forgive them, man. Don't forget how they're living in a pandemic. Hey, y'all, it's hard to get it, but don't forget how you're living, how you're living, how you're living.
I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
Maintain it. I got to live, kid.
We will survive.
I got to live, kid.
I'm chatting with Lee Reed. You're listening to Steel City Music, and the name of the show is Steel City Music, and we're talking about his last EP, Murder Hornet Landlord. What's the difference between Murder Hornet Landlord and some of your previous releases as far as acceptance and the songs. Have you seen a level of notoriety in your style of what you do? Like, almost like as if you have to do something similar to the previous album, but you have to show some growth without being pigeonholed.
Yeah, I suppose. I think that this EP is most comparable to the Steel City EP, which I did in 2018. So this is so I've put out four EPs since I started as Lee Reed. And they were all five tracks. The first two were on purposely five tracks. That's all we had. And then when I went to do the third one, I felt like it would be a bad omen if it wasn't. And so I just continued releasing five track EPs. So this Murder Hornet Landlord is, I would say, most similar to Steel City EP in that it is kind of a concept album. Like, all the songs, I think, sort of thematically complement each other, you know what I mean? They're a cohesive sort of vision of the way this thing is that I'm writing about. And both of them were sort of penned like in an inspired state. Like, it happened pretty quickly and I didn't stew on it too long, and I recorded it. Like, in both cases, the Steel CDP had some parts that were not penned over a sort of 2-3 month period, but most of it was. And then in this case, all of it was. And I don't think that this Murder Hornet Landlord EP would have happened if Steel City EP hadn't turned out as well as it did to me, and critically as well. Like, it was also received really well. So I think once I sort of saw, like, you know, sometimes I'll write a rap song, you know, great, whatever. But when I get the sense that I can write like a whole bunch more on the same subject, and the idea that I can like put that together as one package and it has a cohesive sound and sort of ideology like that, that really turns my crank. So.
One is going like the saber tooth. Dad's that hazmat suit, black boot, mad soup can. Mama got the gas mask stashed in the clutch. Now fly the proof matches, she matches. Topographic map in the hatchet. Last batch of Nana's canned pasta. Sauce with the meatball, don't need a weatherman to know the whole thing blow. Nope, but don't think so. Rope a dope lingo. Baby ate the dingo. Flavor same as pork that. Razorback poor earth scorch. That boar's gonna be gone by tomorrow. No time for sorrow. Act like it normal, then learn to perform it. Your phone been recording, the drone got coordinate. Whole world bored of this Netflix and porn and shit. Can't afford another quarter till the check come next month. Gotta get some bullets for the tech, son. I keep a peg by my door that been packed with sword, knife, and axe, and canned goods and matches. Fine wine, canvas, and iodine tablet. Waterproof jacket, maps marked with passages. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna be vibing the elements. We're gonna survive in the elements. We're gonna get live, alive. Check the head, neck is all correct and not swollen. When the virus get a hold of them, their eyes will go a golden sort of piss bowl. Shit, bro, Rona's got us cooking from the get-go. Stressful, cancel all my sets, yo. Rambo, camo, ammo, more cans of Campbell's. Non-scented candles, packed to the handles. A bat for the vandals, a map for the stash. At the back with the K-ration packages. We all been happy with the battery. The generator's operating at a proper optimum capacity. We're glad to see casualties dropping. Breathing vim high in the frost. Eating squirrel meat sausages. I'm lost, I'm in the weeds and the brushes. Where mosquitoes and black flies eat a motherfucker up. Until the dawn light all night, I'm upright. Waiting for my target, night vision goggles. I keep a bag by my door that been packed with sword, knife, and axe, and canned goods and matches. Fine wine, canvas, and iodine tablet. Waterproof jacket, map marked with acid. We're gonna vibe with the elements. We're gonna be vibe with the elements. We're gonna survive in the elements. We're gonna get live, alive.
The whole album together, and it makes sense from the first track to the third track to the seventh track.
Sure.
It has to be this way laid out because it's telling a story and there has to be a completion to it.
Yeah, you know? And so I think that, like, notoriety, I don't know about that. I mean, it's sort of, it had always been the same for me up until probably 2018, when that year I had that album with Strange Famous in the States, and I got to Europe for the first time, and I also had that Steel City EP, which got me a Polaris nomination. So yeah. From that year, there was a little bit of a step up. I think critics are more receptive to me being in their inbox now, or, you know, that sort of thing. But, and I wouldn't say I haven't, like, changed my game or approach. I'm right. Still, you know, working 9 to 5 and doing music on the side that I love. And, you know, I don't think a whole lot of that will change, you know?
You said something earlier, but if you start stewing on a lyric, what happens when you just start, what's the process for you if you start stewing on something? Do you actually get it done, or is it just you never want to put it out?
I'm funny like that. Like, I'll write something. I'll write, like, a whole song that I really like, and then, like, a month later, I hate it. You know,
just like that.
You know, or what more often happens is that I write something to a beat that I really like that I've gotten from somebody, and then I write to it and I'm like, yeah, that. And then, you know, 2 months later, I think of something better for that beat.
Okay, right.
And
right,
it makes me want to immediately cast aside what I had, right?
Yeah, I thought that was like an anxiety that you had, of like self doubt, because I talk about this with a lot of different artists, and you know, and some of them will, some of them, I always say that story about Drew Smith from Wallowstar, that really, really great singer from Hamilton.
Yeah,
he had a great voice, great songwriter. And he finally put the album out. We were spinning it on the radio station. He was so excited. And then after we played the first song, just before we were going back on air, he says, "Hey, do you think there's any way I can get these albums back?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He says, "I don't know. I don't know if everyone should hear this." And like he was having like a legit panic attack. And I'm like, going, "Dude, it's gonna be okay." You know, but it made sense in a way because
that's,
he said,
"So talented."
Yeah, because it made sense because it said, because he put everything out there. Like, he wasn't hiding anything. These were his thoughts, his feelings, and he was all out there, and it was very exposed. You know, does that ever happen to you though?
Probably not in the same way, Gunnar. I put myself out there in a different way, I think, than other people do. Like, I can upset some people with the things that I say.
Sure.
And I think that I've lost friends, or I've had doors closed on me, or opportunities closed to me. But the type of stuff that I write about, it isn't really about my feelings. You know, I guess in a way it is. It's about my anger. It's about my frustration, about my want to do something, or it's this sort of feeling that we need change, or that sort of thing, I guess. But, you know, I think a lot of other artists are sharing, like, how they felt about their recent breakup or their mom dying or things like that, that I just, like, I don't even attempt to grapple with. So I feel like the stress that I put myself through by putting myself out there, I think other people would find that even more stressful, maybe. It's never really bothered me. I don't care if you know, somebody decides that they don't want to work with me anymore because I made fun of, you know, taco joints or something. You know what I mean? Like, if that's how it's going to be, then we're never real good pals anyway.
Were you saying something horrible about Taco Time at West? Is that what you just did?
No, but I made fun of the gentrification process in Hamilton with the Steel City EP, and, you know, it was pretty, like, I thought the whole thing was pretty funny, but there's some pretty scathing criticism in there, and you know, so it's like it's putting yourself out there in a different way.
The tacos, price like Toronto's, like $6.99, one fish mango tacos. Or bulgogi with the gluten-free chipotle coat, a taco shell spiced with nightclub vibe. They brought the taco, price like Toronto, $5.99, one vegan bean rice. Then they tap the craft, it tastes crap, and that crap will tap your wallet till it run dry. I can't afford the trip, bougie smorgasbord sported the flight to the nightlife vibe. How nice. Can't afford the stuff, let alone a mortgage, when the rent is unaffordable for my kind of life. They brought the tacos, downtown's awful, snobs riding high price bikes. Nice bike. The cost of tacos seems to be unstoppable. City got dollar sign. First you get the artists, then you get the coffee, then you get developers in waves like zombies, then you get the taco, then you get the condo, then you gotta go, cause it's not for you, yo. They brought the tacos, but also brought the condos. The cost of living's gotten so high. I got 50 stories of landlord horror from my folks paying frontline rental price. They brought the tacos, all the fusion nachos. Say the downtown is alive and thriving. I see the death of it, the cultural deficit. How the cost of tacos drives our demise. Got single moms versus hottest restaurant. The city wanna get it all signed. They brought the dollars, inflated all the markets. They grabbed the whole 90519. So have a taco, forget about tomorrow. Fuse it with the nicest white guy spices. Have a taco, forget about tomorrow. City got dollar sign. First you get the artists, then you get the coffee, then you get developers in waves like zombies. Then you get the taco, then you get the condo, then you gotta go, cause it's not for you, yo. And then you gotta go, cause you can't afford it all. And then you gotta go, cause it's not for you, oh. And then you gotta go, cause you can't afford it all. Then you gotta go, then you gotta go. And you know tacos are my favorite. My favorite. How you gonna take them, break them, remake them, change them into agents of gentrification? Hey, right? How you gonna try and make me hate them? The taco, the taco, the taco.
Lost some friends and you've lost some opportunities. Do you think the person that closes the door on you in friendship wise or working wise, idolized you, just made you out to be something that you're not, which was kind of like my question earlier, is that you get pigeonholed into this. This is Lee Reed. He's the angry, grumpy, blah, blah, blah guy. Right. And this is all he can ever be. But this is what I enjoy. But if you were to put out something slightly different from that, well, then, you know, I don't agree with it, you know. I can't buy his music because he made fun of Hamilton and gentrification. When actually, it's, right. You actually didn't make fun of anything. You were kind of like Captain Obvious, to be honest.
Right, you right. So, yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't know. I think people just get, you know, everybody likes... political rap until it's about them. You know, everybody's fine with me saying all this stuff until it's about them. That's really what it comes down to, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like you're a stand-up comedian. The jokes are great at someone else, but when you turn it towards something that I think is about me, well, then you can't say that. That's not allowed,
right?
You know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fine. And like it's not like I have, like, you know, vicious enemies out there or anything like that.
No.
It's not like that. It's just like, you know, there's people that were once a lot warmer that are now just acquaintances, you know, that sort of thing. You know, life, time goes on and things change, you know.
Sure. But that's part of life.
It really is. And I would do it all over again. The artistic decisions that I made and stuff, I'm really happy with them. You know, I think that everything that I put out, especially the last few years, quite proud of. And the stuff that I got in the bag now to come out, I'm really proud of too.
You know? Well, there's always something going on that that can inspire you to make people think or to talk about that sort of thing. And I think that's kind of like an obligation for an artist of your stature, that you do have to do things like that. And of course, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I'm just dreading the next two albums from you, because I got a feeling it's just going to be people really upset with you that you've taken apart Joe Biden or someone else that has been built up to be, you know, the next Messiah, right?
Yeah.
I'll spin it. I'll like it. But
well, thanks very kindly. Thank you kindly.
But I mean, you know, having said that, I mean, I guess you should be inundated with a flood of nonsense. I got to pay you a compliment. You did something that I haven't been able to do, that I've been slowly doing. And I don't think a lot of people know this, is that you got off Facebook.
I did. And as you know, I used to be quite a loudmouth in that space. And thank you for noticing.
Oh, yeah.
I it's actually been great. I would highly recommend it to anybody and everybody. It's a bit of a long story, but people that I work with, like I personally work with, had their accounts frozen, and organizations that we work with and people's personal accounts that were running them were shut down over things that I would consider to be pretty routine, like organizational things, like sending out event notices and just the content of what they're sending. Like, there's a very big focus in Canada on suppressing like any sort of like Indigenous uprising, and settlers are, settlers who support that sort of thing. Even all across Turtle Island, you saw Indigenous folks have long been the target of this sort of state surveillance. And when you see it playing out on Facebook, you see people just, their voices just being shut off to this space that we've all invested so much time and effort in building up. You know, it made me really angry. And so some of these pages were shut down and some of these people's personal accounts were shut down, but it made me realize like it's either going to happen to me or it's going to greatly hinder my ability to interact with like the community that I want to,
right,
through my music. And so I just couldn't take it anymore, man.
Yeah.
Or made the crow, or unleash. Hey. I love my city, I hate where it's headed. Love the art, hate the way it's peddled by overzealous developers selling it. Fatigue, beam up, Bella to tell us the benefits of old white fella. The rich condo settlement developer telling us profits are part of community betterment. A huge infusion of douchebag is medicine. This town needs an enema from Toronto, pronto. More glass and condos, we'll need more grass, greenery, scenery. Some cool pop-up boutiques and a nice pastiche down this street. Will you please get the poor people out of the picture? Cause the rich have got to get richer. A $6 taco could fix it. A pitcher of blueberry wheat ale pissing. I'm sick of pretenses of good intention, like profits and not the raison d'etre. Like real estate's a charity venture. Improve community for new renters from spots with good jobs and pensions. Expensive, my peeps feel the tension. Rents increase, stupid, through the roof and the ceiling leaking. The landlords are evil, part man, part piece of feces. Believe this, real estate's full of the greedy, easy, DEV type peeps. Stealing from the poor, they've been stealing it. Drink the tears of the folks that are grieving these eviction. Cha-ching, the system, gentrification, colonization. All of the blatant ways that they take it. Displacement, that makes payday. Cause more pain equals more gain for them. What's your shared space, social innovating, placemaking, placemaking. What's your incubator, incubator?
incubating. Invaders, expensive taste. Erasure, it's a new start though. Monsters barfing, latte art foam. It eats homes, neighbors, its favorite flavors broke and predisposed to the renos, demos, constructos. The process needs more cops though. Cops on horses, cops that use force on folks in the core that look too poor. Harassed daily, the classes face a hooray for this revitalization. Make way for capital, about half of your homes are gonna have to be resold. Two to threefold to the rich new people, to the cycle it starts to repeat in the downtown cores just for the elite. Controlled by price, controlled by police, all made to crawl, all unleashed. Controlled by price, controlled by police, all made to crawl, all unleashed.
I think everybody should really. It's what I came to realize from it is, like, you know, I used to get in full blown like 3-day arguments in that thing, you know, like not long ago, two years ago at most. It took me a while to wean off full blown argue, you know, day long arguments or 2-day long arguments. But what I came to realize is that even if you are really patient with people and you walk them through things and you try to reason with them, just the very format itself, just you'll create divisions with three other people that you didn't intend to do. And it's just like, it just takes the crappiest parts of how people interact and discuss and argue and like just puts it on steroids and
yeah,
gives it guns and knives, you know, like it's,
yeah,
it's really not a great place to work out anything.
No, it's not, and that's why I've taken a page away out of your playbook, and I went from having close to, I don't know, like 4,500 friends, like down to like 900.
Wow.
Because it basically it came down to, I was just like, it was a combination of memes, people posting live, laugh, and love. I can't. For one, I just can't live, laugh, and love if you keep telling me to. and you know, yellow vesters, flat conspiracy, anti-maskers, Nazis, especially the Nazis. People saying that they weren't Nazis, but they understand the Nazi. Well, then you're a Nazi. You know, conservatives. You know, and then I found myself getting very angry with everybody who even wanted to discuss something about that, about a subject. We're just like, oh god, unfriend. So I just got rid of all of these people, and now I think I'm ready to just make the switch to like just Steel City Music page, that's it, and just get right off of Facebook.
Yeah, man.
You know,
yeah, it felt good. Like, honestly, it's it gives you a lot more of your life back.
Yeah, it's it, because you were talking about the communication being shut down, but to me it's also an issue of mental health for people.
No doubt. No
you
doubt.
Know, like that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and I mean, sadly, there are things about it that are fantastic, like, and its ability to, like, what it could do versus what it does. There's such a giant difference, you know, like what a tool like that could do and the way it used to work.
Mm-hmm.
I think was probably really helpful to people that had anxiety or
sure,
mental health issues, and that they could use it as a way of like being in touch with people without
having
needing to
sure, or like, you know, being able to interact with people. And you know, some people are agoraphobic, I think is the term. They don't go out.
Yeah,
and this is their only means of communication or socialization. And there it is. But I mean, with so much nonsense and vitriol that people put into it, it's just not healthy for anyone, I don't think. You listen to Steel City Music. My guest right now is Lee Reed. We were chatting about everything from Facebook to Murder Hornet Landlord to activism, and just to wrap up just our chat. We talked a lot about your EP, the future LP that's coming out, and how you're coping with the COVID and the pandemic. In the middle of all of this, what music have you been listening to that's turning your crank?
Yeah, it's a good question, to be honest, buddy. I haven't listened to a lot of new stuff. I've been really trying to think what's the best thing to tell you. We've been hunkered down doing a lot of writing. So I did the Murder Hornet Landlord EP. Also with a group of people that I work with called Rhyme Think, mm-hmm. a collective of revolutionary folks. We put out a compilation about police and courts and prison. It was called Anti Up Volume 1, and all the proceeds to that go to Black Lives Matter Canada. It's a kind of a defund the police album. And I would say between the two of those, I honestly haven't done a lot of leisurely listening. I've like honestly just emerged from that and sort of a 4-month period of pretty much only listening to beats, writing, recording, editing, and thinking about it, you know? But there are a few things I'm excited about. A homie that I work with by the name of Kay the Aquanaut, also a member of Rhyme Think, a guy that I've been touring with now for like 7 years. He's a guy that I went to Europe with. He's from Saskatoon, but he lives out in Victoria now. He's putting out a record, I think in another week or two, called Ancient Fish from the Northwest. And it's really great. And I've been listening to that on the regular. I had an advanced copy of it. And his last, Nautical Blue. I've been listening to that a lot because I've been working with Kay. I've been listening to a lot of like stuff by people that I know that I've been, you know, working with. Unknown Misery has a bunch of new singles that I got my hands on. My homie C from Tester Logic has just a gigantic library of stuff that he's trying to put together a record. So I've been doing a lot of like listening to friends' stuff and beats and that. Been in contact with a couple of producers in Europe, like guys that make hip-hop beats. And so I've been listening through to a lot of the stuff that they've already made with other artists and then beats that I've gotten from them. So it's been a pretty productive time for me. And most of the stuff that I've been listening to is either something that I'm working on or the product of something that somebody I'm working with is doing, you know? It's been one of those stretches.
It's a big old knot in the gut for me. Before all this, we already fucked from it. The world burned just to serve the corrupted. Smug fucks buying bulletproof trucks for it. Ooh, fuck, destruction's sick. The markets are all a bottomless pit. The future wobbles and the present shit. The cause of problems, profits from it. We caught a glimpse of the fraud. They pulled back the curtain on the great Oz. And facade cracked and it all paused. We saw the conflict, we gotta resolve for it. There's just no going back to shit. No two tabs of what backs are set back to it. No map or path to the math in this shit. Just midway past the start of collapsing. It's all happening, it's adapting. The capital snatching, maximum stack from it. Masses get the minimum pass to them. Gads, bats, and gases for just asking. No mask, they made it great again. Concentration camps, kids in cages. Labor wages, incarceration. They turn the taps to blast them to hatred. Flavor fascists, dash of freedom. They open carry AR-15s and leave their religion on repeat until they've mythologized their G.I. Jesus. Jesus, COVID, cracker Christ. They hold a life, they throw them dice. The courts enforcing corporate rights. The borders, cops, soldiers, and ICE. More to life than fear of debt. There's more to life than just paying your rent. There's more to live for than putting dents in your credit score during the course of a pandemic. And it's all hands on deck. They've invested us in Fortune, Forbes indexes, offshore scores, next best, stressed and chest protecting, Kevlar vests and shit. And we've learned to build a nest in it. Lessons test to the Great Depression. The burned and the disparity is etched. And we learn it's solidarity or it's death. And we don't accept it, reject it. Trajectories of your interventions. No mention of bread or getting fed. We'll paint your floors and your walls in red. We're probably already dead from it. The future rears its ugly head. handed us. The devil jerked the chain on the neck and cracks the whip, says get back to stepping, kid. They've weaponized our fears, suggested threats to what we hold dear. They'll chart the loss of all the arrears, and they'll toss the hostages into the gears. Fizzy tears, the official beverage of the 2020 COVID pandemic. Cameras panned, the stands are packed with bankers, landlords, corporate backers. Chanting they want it back again, or acting like it never even happened. And get us back into these spending habits, the assets amassed in havens of taxes. There's just no going back to shit. No vacation package and then back to it. No map, no path on the math of this shit. We're midway past the start of the collapsing. It's all happening, it's adapting. The capital snatching, maximum stack from it. Masses get the minimum pass to them. Catch gats, bats, and gases for just asking. So don't make us ask for it.
Is on the air, broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.
All right, I guess we might as well just get into this. October 31st, MF Doom passed away. And I never really... I don't know what it was. It sort of like slipped through my fingers because, I don't know, there's so much going on with this stupid COVID crap. So I kind of missed it. And it kind of pissed me off too because, like, 2004, when I was at the radio station, I came across the Mad Villain album and I was like, oh, this is like really good. I'm really enjoying this. So I would spin it all the time at, then I think we were still C101.5 FM, which then went to Indie 101 and then went to The Hawk. So, I don't know, it just kind of bummed me out that I never spun anything, and I thought, you know, now's the 2021, and you know, I missed it, but let's spin it through this show. So, why don't I do that? And what you're going to hear is like three interviews that he has done, just some clips of interviews with other people. And the entire album. So I hope you enjoy. Rest in peace, MF Doom, Danny DeMille.
As luck would have it, one of America's two most powerful villains of the next decade
is turned loose to strike terror into the hearts of men. To shock women into uncontrolled hysteria.
Don't touch that!
The villains themselves were ultimately responsible for much of the popularity. Audiences loved to hate. The importance of the villain was not overlooked. Of course, one of the worst of all was the Mad Villain. They had no code of ethics.
What's the matter? Again, I was only trying to...
Get to work on these boys. Anybody bring a gun for me?
Yeah, here's one.
Not one, but two. Typical villain releases included...
I know they're going to kiss me, but don't let anyone see me like that. Please, doctor, help me!
And a sequel.
Master of all.
Both the villains were to meet in...
Your mother was the lightning!
Two historical figures, outlaws and desperados at that, the villainous pair of really nice boys who just happened to be on the wrong side of the law. 360 degrees, and similar sequences could not be defeated. Villains who possess supernatural abilities. Villains who were the personification of carnage. Mad villain, more accurately, the dark side of our beings. Perhaps it is due to this seminal connection that audiences can relate their experience in life with the villains and their dastardly doings.